That's it. We're often impatient and we think we know. And that causes big unhappiness in us, really, when we think we know better than Allah what's good for us. But, you know, that's part of the human dilemma. Sometimes our heart wants something that's not good for us. That's a very amazing predicament. Or that's not meant for us at that time. It says everything we want will be given. There's not one thing, because that's the way Allah is. That we couldn't want something if it wouldn't be given to us eventually. So we can already assume that it's there, really. Since we, our heart lives in eternity, you know. We should really contemplate that more often. Eternity, and that we are already in a state of eternity. And yet it is not a fixed eternity. It is a constantly new eternity. It's still eternity. I'll just share with our guests, because I'm sure our dervishes are familiar with that teaching of the great Sheikh Al-Akbar, rahmatullah alayh, Ibn Arabi. But he says that in this world, our outer part, our bodies, look fixed, more or less, and it's the inner that's constantly shifting. And in the next world, the outer will be shifting, that the inner, which is the, you know, the essential being, will be, in a sense, in that eternal state, and the outer will be constantly shifting because of what that inner being will be requesting. Mm-hmm. And so whatever comes into the heart in the hereafter to desire will be manifest immediately. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, we should contemplate more of those things, that, and so that we can be content in the present and content in the testing of the world. So, and we're tested in this world so that we can why is it that humanity is tested? Really, it's, well, it's the you know what it said, the putting the ore in the fire, so that the what is not pertaining to the gold will melt away, or fashioning the sword of light. All of these are part of the testing. Is simply, nothing is by chance and nothing is in vain, so that every time we are tested, every breath we take is a breath and a test to bring us to a higher level and bring us to, you know, the station of truth, inshallah. So we should remind ourselves of that and not be discouraged. You know, when we feel far from the truth or far from Allah. It's amazing, even when we feel far, we can feel near. It's a very funny thing after a while, because you, in one's, well, Effendi would say, sometimes, you know, when you're far, you're near, when you're near, you can be far, you can feel far. It's that paradox. We always seem to live in the paradoxical state. But, you know, there's, when we feel far, there is an intimacy and a nearness if we can, that we can taste. You know, it's almost like a sweetness of the sadness, or a sweetness of the state of what seems like exile. But the very fact, we wouldn't know it was exile if we were not aware, if we were not longing for the beloved. And so it's not really exile. It's just a taste. You know, one of the infinite colors of love. Love has all the colors. Love has the whole palette in it. Doesn't just have the, you know, the bright, pretty colors. Has everything. And so if we can see that, then, you know, our life is very different. If we can see everything as a movement of love, alhamdulillah. We're never separate, but, you know, can feel that way. Welcome. So have you ever attended a zikr before? No. Uh-huh. Right. Well, you know, you just let yourself be guided and led. It's a communal merging into the divine, and a divine merging into the communal. And you know, the names we will chant are divine names, names of God, and they're not difficult. So you will hear them, and you can just repeat them with us as you hear them, and you just let your heart guide you, and let go of, you know, the mind and any sense of separation or individual will, inshallah. Good. Yes. Right, so let's quiet our mind and our senses and find ourselves in the heart, in the luminous cave of the heart, which opens out endlessly. It has a narrow opening, but an endless extension within. The Prophet, peace be upon him, retreated into the cave, and it's a very small cave. You know, I saw it with my own eyes, and several of us have here too. It's very small, but what came to that cave was, you know, an infinite opening for humanity, and the return of revelation in the ongoing river of revelation, and also a new revelation in this tiny little, almost like a womb, feels like a little womb up the mountain above Mecca, where he would retreat because he was called there, and he to receive that, he needed to be apart from the human society, the first revelation, and to prepare himself. And then later revelations came, you know, within the society, within, among the companions, sometimes unexpectedly. Because by that time, he had become such a perfect vessel that he could contain that revelation. Without it, destroying his human form. And it said, if this revelation had been sent to a mountain, the mountain would have dissolved, been crushed, just as the mountain of Moses, that Moses stood on, was evaporated. Maybe it wasn't the one he stood on, I don't know. It said, look upon the mountain, so it could have been one another. That would be interesting to know. But the meaning is the same. That revelation cannot be contained or embodied in any other but the perfect heart. The heart which is entirely God. For no other than God can contain that revelation, the power of it.